Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 444. This is the triple awesome edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, even though I particularly am not feeling triple nor awesome. We got three number fours, and I couldn't really think of what to call it one way or another, so that's the name I came up with until I change it by the end of the show. Whatever the mood strikes me, if you know what I'm saying. We have a lot of really fun, really good content to talk to you about here today on the Caffeination Podcast. In case you are blissfully unaware, the Caffeination Podcast is the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news, both shoved into one fun little show that we got here. Usually comes out twice a week over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. All right, we accidentally missed the last show. I just could not get it together. I gotta tell you, one of the weirder things about being home for as long as I have been home this time, my wife had a kid 2 weeks ago at this point. By the time you're listening to it, will be the 2 week anniversary of my daughter's birth. And the weird thing about not being in work, not being in any sort of normal schedule, is that, you know, all of my usual news reading and whatever I do at night just seems to all be thrown off the beaten path there. And it's kind of hard to keep everything in order and keep all the really important stuff that's going on in the great wide world of web that we have out there kind of in perspective with the real things that are happening here at home. So I know that, you know, as soon as I get back to work and as soon as everything else starts to fall back into line and we get into a normal schedule, things are just going to start clearing up. But as it is, I found a lot of really awesome, really kind of crazy off-the-wall stuff here. Nothing too heavy, nothing too over the top, so I just wanted to kind of ease on back into the little swing that we got going for you here. 444 episodes, and they are all thanks to you, the listeners. So if you feel so kind, please send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com for comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything that you think that we should actually be covering here on the podcast, or anything that you would like to see, stories that you think are awesome that I should be made aware of, or if you just want to say hi, howdy, your podcast is great, wonderful, awesome, or it could use a heck of a lot of work and I don't think that you're the guy to do it. You know, whatever you happen to feel like shooting my general direction, I would be more than happy to hear it. All right, we do have a couple things to talk to you about before we get into the meat and or the potatoes here on today's show. Just a quick reminder, in case you're going to be in the Philadelphia area in the beginning of October, October 2nd and 3rd specifically, please feel free to head on over to podcampphilly.com and make sure that you sign up to go to Podcamp Philly as one of the organizers. And it's at the My Place of Business, Temple University, so it's going to be a fun-filled time for anybody and everybody who's interested in new media space. So head on over there and check that out. And the other thing that we wanted to talk to you about is the Summer of Podcasts 2 contest. That's right. We are once more teamed up with a whole bunch of people over at podcastmadness.com to give you tons of prizes and ways in which to get them. So this right now is the individual show portion. So head on over to podcastmadness.com. You can find all of the different shows and when they're actually going to be pushed forth. Right now we are in the last, I think, the last throes of actually the July single serving code weeks. So Flash Pass, Day in Tech History, The iPad Show, Waves of Tech, Spirit Blade, Underground Pod, Bitnapping TV, The School of Podcasts, Morning, UC Radio, Photo Walkthrough, and The Voice of the DBA. They're all giving out new, fresh code words this week. Our code was way back in the beginning of July, and I'm really glad I didn't hold out towards the end, because my brain is fried three ways till Sunday. So hopefully you can head on over there and check those and all the other wonderful shows that are given out there. Remember, head on over there, enter in and win. It's going to be great and fantastic and wonderful. So the last but most certainly not least thing that we'd like to talk to you about is the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. The old way is to meet for business over the phone or in person. You have to spend time and money either getting everybody together and on the same page or traveling to and from everybody else's place of business. The new way, which is a better way, is to meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. It's just like you're meeting in person, but it consumes a lot less of your time and expenses. You can start your meetings with just a click and everyone can see your computer desktop from their screen. So you can use GoToMeeting to host sales presentations, product demos, training sessions, whatever you want, without having to worry about whether or not your files will work on the other computers. Well, without whether worrying about, you know, information security, if your laptop's going to get stolen or misplaced, you know, in transit or something as simple and silly as that. It's so much simpler to do everything online instead. And GoToMeeting, it lets you do all of this for one low price. That's $49 a month. It's a flat fee, and you can host as many online meetings as you would like. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts to get in on that wonderful piece of software. All right, I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy, cool, and wonderful stuff. We have a great show lined up for you today. Again, I would heartily apologize for missing the last show. It's not something I like to do, but unfortunately, it seems to be something that's happening a little bit more often. It's just I can't get everything upright and caffeinated in order to talk about or collect any of the news, and it's just my head is in 16 different places. So at one point in time, I was asking for people to submit, you know, articles, content, help, whatever you'd like to do. That's kind of fallen by the wayside right now. We're just kind of trying to get our bearings. Then we're gonna come out, you know, guns blazing after things settle down and the new member of the Caffeination staff starts to actually sleep through all the way through the night. Right now, you're sleeping in like 3-hour shifts, and for somebody who only gets 5 hours of sleep a night, that's just it's just kind of crazy. All right, now there are such things in the world that, such games in the world that geeks absolutely love. I got to tell you right off the bat that I am enamored of the game The Settlers of Catan. It's a German-style board game, which I'm not entirely sure what that means, except for the fact that in this case the board changes every single time, and I got it for Christmas thanks to my mom and dad for getting me that. The cool thing is that we've been playing it with a bunch of our friends, and I had to beg everybody basically the first time. I was like, you guys are going to love this, and they're like, this is ridiculous, there's so many crazy rules. And I was like, no, seriously, just try it, give me one playthrough, we'll mess up as much as we want, and then, you know, I guarantee you will love it, because we have game night here with a bunch of our friends, and, you know, travel to different houses and everything, and it's been unbelievable. Everybody loves it. But another game that has significantly fewer people than that's a 3-4 player game, is chess. Now, geeks the world over love chess. Well, most geeks that I know. I actually know a couple people who hate chess, but they love checkers, but they're still geeks. So I'm a little bit confused. Now, the only way you could get more geeky than an LED chess set would probably be to a 3D LED chess set that was actually made with Star Trek figures. But no, this is a real honest to goodness lighted LED chess and checker set. So if you are of the checker ilk, then that could be yours. They are lit green and blue. It's probably not the two colors that I would choose. Maybe red and blue would probably be a little bit better, and then you could have a whole red versus blue thing going. But one thing that I'm usually a stickler for, that I really, really like when it matches up, is when you have a game board, the colors on the game board should match the pieces that you're using. So if you have an LED lighted blue and an LED lighted green, you would expect the playing field, the you know, the field of battle, to actually be green and blue, or at least, you know, white and black go standard. Or at least have it be white and black and standard, and that way people would understand. And then, you know, there might be some differentiation as to whether or not somebody said, okay, this is black, this is not. I mean, my chess set from being on the chess team, yes, I'm that kind of geek in middle school, I actually, they did a sale on those wonderful chess sets where it's actually the rollout mat, and it's green and kind of a cream color, and it has, like, the big chunky pieces that, you know, have, they're basically indestructible. Those are black and white, but the board itself is green and white, so it's easy enough to understand who's who. Looking at this chess set, my biggest problem, besides the fact that it's $80 for a chess set, and you know, I only paid X amount of dollars, I think $5 or $10 for that really cool chess set, is the fact that, you know, the colors are not indicative of what side they would take in the epic battle that is, you know, shown in chess. So you know. It's one of those things where you're looking at them and going, okay, are the blue pieces the white ones because they look a little bit lighter in the color spectrum, or do you really want to geek out and say, okay, the green is much more nefarious of a color when compared to a light blue, you know, kind of like a baby blue, so does it automatically take on the negative or the black role? I'm not entirely sure, but from this place, the placement here, it actually looks like, you know, since the white is on the right, it actually looks like green's being used for white, and the actually, it looks like they have the board set up wrong, which is no, they don't. I'm sorry. Ignore me. Never mind. But it's still kind of cool and kind of awesome. It's just I think they could have used a little bit more thought put into it. All right. Now, the next thing we have from over a wonderful website, random-good-stuff.com, random good stuff. I talk about them all the time, is the really cool mobile lava lamp. Now, I love lava lamps. I have one. My wife used to have one until I dropped it while we were actually doing some renovations in the basement. The funny thing is the glass stayed intact. Everything stayed intact except the, you know, even the lava stayed in there. It was nice and cold when we moved it. But the thing is when it hit the ground, the cap actually popped off the vessel and the liquid spewed everywhere. So the lava's still in there. I just have to kind of figure out exactly what kind of alcohol goes in there and find out if I can actually recap the bottle and still have it be a safe thing to use. Because I like having hers. I mean, that was wonderful having, you know, like the dueling lava lamps down here in the basement. But I'm not about to light a flammable flammable situation back up. This mobile lava lamp actually removes the light bulb but adds slightly more of a flammable idea to it. It takes what looks like a standard lava lamp, puts it in some sort of a protective case, and then suspends a tea light from the bottom. I actually like this design a lot more, so I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was really, really cool. I'm not entirely sure exactly how big it is because I was trying to click on some of the links and it just wasn't working right. But it's one of those things where you're looking at it and going, wow, that has to be fantastic. It has to be wonderful. But I'm not entirely sure how much it costs. So I can't say yes, I would recommend. No, I wouldn't. All right, moving right along to over technobob.com. 8-bit city maps, more interesting and pixely than Google Maps. But I got to tell you, looking at this, it looks like we've reduced the entire world to an Ultima map. If you ever remember the Ultima games from like the early Commodore 64 and the early PC things, I actually have a lot of Ultima cloth maps hanging in my office at work, but I might have to bring them home for a little bit of extra geek cred down here in the lair. But then again, you know, I don't really think I need to add to the geek cred. I've kind of stumped a couple of the Comcast techs that have come in here recently. They've looked at the setup. They've seen all the different microphones. They said, so, man, you in a band? No, I'm not in a band. I do a radio show, which is basically what I've been telling people. And, you know, everybody keeps trying to sit down at the computer and install their fun little Comcastic software. And it's like, no, please, don't touch my computer ever. Go away, fix the problem at hand. I am a tech in my real job as well. I know what the problem is. I'm just not a telephony geek, so I can't really tell you that, yes, this is the actual problem. Hopefully everything's been sorted out, but, you know, I digress. Anyway, back to the 8-bit pixely maps. I told you, I'm like six ways, I'm going in six different directions at once, but the 8-bit pixely maps look really cool. You can zoom in and out. It actually breaks everything down to tiny little tessellated pixels, so it looks pretty cool. I'm just not entirely sure if you'd be able to figure out all the different things in your hometown. All right, now geeks of all stripes are aware that Comic-Con is currently happening or just wrapped up. I'm not entirely sure of the scope of it, but I do know that the amount of geek information and news that goes out during Comic-Con is insane. So you have to prove your geek cred. I don't ever think I would actually dress up and do some cosplay to go to an event like that, but I do enjoy laughing and pointing and eyeballing some of the other costumes that people have put together, basically because I like making my own Halloween costume, so that would be really, this is a really good idea to do. But my favorite thing so far is I can't tell if they're members of the 501st or not, but Darth Vader and a stormtrooper are actually in chef hats, and they've cooked the head of Jar Jar Binks. That is unbelievable. It was the photo apparently was taken 4 days ago. It's Chef Vader and a stormtrooper, so it's really, really cool. And given how most Star Wars people actually feel about Jar Jar, I could understand the sentiment. So I just wanted to share that with the group because I thought it was awesome. And it's also coupled with a bunch of other really, really cool pictures that are up there, so you can see and enjoy. Next little thing, if you've ever seen the repulsor cannon from Iron Man, where he basically flexes his hand and shoots a beam of light out. One well-heeled geek over at Hackaday.com has a system that does something similar, except rather than, you know, force an enemy back or blow them through a wall or something like that, or enable flight, it's just a really shiny light. So much like most of the fake lightsabers that are out there, because there's no way to actually terminate a laser. That's the problem with lightsabers. It's not the fact that nobody can make a laser strong enough to cut through something, it's the fact that nobody can make a laser strong enough to cut through something that would actually terminate after a predetermined distance. It would just kind of shine off into oblivion. Because that's just how they work. You know what I mean? All right, and if you hear that sound, that's actually the baby monitor. The funny thing is, the baby monitor, for some unknown reason right now, has actually been picking up modem signals. So either my kid has dial-up or the signal's somehow crossing with a fax machine somewhere in the area, which I don't even know. And from listening to it, it sounds like an old 14-4, because it's not nearly quick enough nor long enough for any of the handshakes on like a 36-6 or any of the other ones. So I'm pretty sure it's a 14-4, but it's just kind of a little bit weird to hear that coming out of the baby monitor. So I would have hoped that, you know, my kid would at least be stealing Wi-Fi from a neighbor or something by now. But, you know, hey, maybe we're starting out with the basics and I just didn't know it yet. And the only other thing I'd like to say on that particular topic is the fact that, yes, I know the sounds that you heard on the podcast just now are not actually the sounds of a modem handshake, but are rather the battery dying on the baby monitor. So I know that that's not the sound that I heard, but it's been coming out with some really crazy, weird sounds. And that kind of led me to think, just how many exact things are actually showing up in the spectrum right now? I know some people are actually sensitive to electromagnetic interference, and they get like rashes and irritation and all that, but we have cell phones, baby monitor, Wi-Fi, baby monitors, cordless phones, clickers, and anything else wireless in your house, and it's all just kind of rattling around in there. You know, you'd think the air would be a little bit more stuffy. All right, well, back to the task at hand. I told you six different directions. Anyway, rather than actually create a beam that's capable of flight or anything like that, his just simply blinds someone by issuing an incredibly bright pulse. I'm pretty sure the only problem with actually doing something like this is if you're going to build it into a full Iron Man cosplay, something like it, you would actually have to incorporate some type of welding goggles actually into the eyewear. You know, welding goggles, really good welding goggles, actually have the ability to show something perfectly clear, and then as soon as they detect an increase in the available light by a certain amount, to protect your eyes, they actually shade the available light down to a very, very low amount. So this way you don't have to, you know, go around with those really dark green smoked goggles all the time, you know, but rather, you know, you have a nice clear motorcycle helmet view, for lack of a better comparison. And then as soon as you strike the arc on a welding torch or something like that, it dims it down significantly. So that would be the only way that you could actually use a weapon like this and somewhat effectively, because else, you know, you would be blinded as well. I mean, even if you close your eyes, with the amount of flash that he got on that thing, it's pretty impressive. All right, next little thing here. This is a simple little one-off. Some gentleman has actually found a way to make... he actually took apart a vintage Millennium Falcon and he turned it into a guitar. So you can use your own Kessel Run jokes here. I'm actually not going to go all the way through it. The only thing I'm a little bit disappointed in is that none of the rest of the guitar was actually styled. It just seemed to actually be taking a guitar apart, or taking a guitar apart on one hand and taking the Millennium Falcon apart on the other and just kind of sandwiching them together. There doesn't seem to be a lot of intricate little details that would really make it a cool design. It looks awesome enough. It's just, I don't even know. It, like I said, it looks awesome enough. It just really seemed to miss a couple of the small minor points. But, you know, hey, that's just me. all right, moving right along to the next tiny little thing here. I have to say this one very, very carefully here, but no more Sofa King Awesome Couch Mobile. That's right. The fine folks over at Brigham Young University have decided to clamp down on Nicholas Horner and his ability to drive his motorized couch around campus. BYU actually is home to a rather inventive group of students, one of which... found a way to use the chassis from a motorized wheelchair and attach it to a couch so he could drive it around for beer runs and a whole bunch of other different little things. I think it's kind of cool. I can understand why Brigham Young might want to actually limit the amount of beer runs on the campus, or maybe just because it's probably not safe to drive around. I mean, then again, golf carts aren't really safe to drive around. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another. If you are an Android fan like I am, you can create your own Android figure with this paintable Android figurine. The fine folks over at DYZ Plastics in early August are going to be releasing plain white Android little Android guys. And they had the first installment was actually out a while ago that had a whole bunch of different different designs that you could actually use, and this one's a lot different than that, and that the first installment of them is just going to be plain white. So just thought that was cool. So if you wanted to create your own, the three examples they have here are an Apple, an iAndroid, which is actually kind of funny, a Joker one, and a you know, like a Why So Serious new modern Joker one, and an R2-D2 one. I really like the R2-D2 one. Actually, I think I might even just keep it the white Android, or maybe just paint it stock green, just because I like the Android guy. That's just me. All right, next little thing that we got for you here, and the last little thing we got for you in this system, the OnStar GM app that was released for the Chevy Volt that allowed you to do a whole bunch of stuff from your smartphone, either iPhone or Android, has actually been extended to a whole other series of cars. So you're going to be able to get them on various Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC vehicles, provided that they have an up-to-date and current subscription to OnStar. Here's my problem. I hate the fact that every place I turn seems to be adding another subscription to my life. I look at the checking account, you know, I look at my my available funds in the wallet at the end of the month, because we only get paid monthly, and you're just kind of say, all right, now where did all the money go? And then you start to realize everything is a subscription anymore. You don't ever just buy anything. It's even down to music. It's like you can't just buy something and have it. No, they have different music sites that you can have subscription to. You can have satellite radio, which you have to have a subscription to. You can have cable internet and all these other tiny little things that are siphoning little pieces of buyable capital out of your wallet from time to time. And it's just kind of disheartening when you see yet another thing that you have to, you know, after you spend, you know, 20 some, 30 some thousand dollars on a car, they still have to nail you for a couple extra bucks every month. You know, I forget what the actual service charge is for that, just so you can utilize some cool, more geekery. I mean, yes, I'm a geek at heart, and this would be something that would definitely be a selling feature to me, but it's really, I guess, disheartening to see another subscription there. Just say, hey, you know, if you want to be this awesome, then you have to have this extra little bit of money drained away from your wallet. So, all right, that about wraps it up here for the GeekCraft section. Moving on to the food and caffeinated bits, there's a fun new website called That's Nerdalicious, and it's by the same people who do the a couple other sites that we actually talk about. So I just wanted to share with the group because I thought it was pretty awesome. But one of the first posts that they have over there is a fun little bit of coffee design love. It's the perfect cup of coffee. It's actually a mix between coffee icons and pie charts on how you could actually create different beverages. So, for instance, the Miami Vice, the Red Eye, the Vienna Coffee, and the Yu Yang, which and they have the Cappuccino, the Cafe, the Iced Coffee, which I actually think is kind of ridiculous. That's not a mix. That's just black coffee chilled. So the Flat White, the Cafe Mocha, the Cafe Latte. I mean, a whole bunch of other different ones there. And it's a repost of the Perfect Pour, a citizen's guide. This is something I would print out and probably put in the layer if I had the design and the decor the way I wanted it down here, but you know, that's just not me. We're working towards a solvent household, and certain things like decoration are not high on the Nerdalicious radar at this point in time. But hey, you know, That's Nerdalicious looks like an interesting site we will be visiting quite frequently. Just going to let you know on that one. Next little thing is from over at 7gadgets.com. They're calling these reusable ice cubes. Everybody's seen them. They're plastic covered bits of some kind of chemical that freezes and keeps things cold. The only thing is I've never seen them actually work as good as ice. It's not the surface area or something. It's just something about the plastic having an insulating quality that never really seems to transfer heat efficiently. So these are called cold boulders. They they look like rocks, you leave them in your glass. So that's one thing, which actually looked pretty interesting, but that got me reminded of the Whiskey Stones, something that's sold over at thinkgeek.com. They're basically $20 for a set of stones that you actually freeze soap stones and drop them into your glass. This allows you to have chilled beverages, such as scotch, without watering anything down. They look unbelievable. I really need to get a little bit of disposable cash in the kitty to actually buy these, because they look fantastic, and I would love to have them. And I love scotch, so having a non-watered-down scotch on the rocks would actually be really cool with actual rocks. So, alright, moving right along to the next little thing. Again, from over at ThinkGeek, BeerBot bottle opening shirt. I have no clue how this actually works, but it's a shirt that has a beer has a bottle opener hanging off the front. The thing that I'm unsure of how it works is the torque aspect. I understand that you can put basically any kind of metal clip, provided it has a certain amount of space in between two little prongs. You can just basically pry a bottle top off of anything. I mean, heck, all you really need is a good hard edge on a countertop and one good whack and your bottle's open, because nothing's worse than actually trying to twist off a pop top. So, but looking at this, I'm trying to figure out how they would actually generate enough torque and enough surface area behind the bottle opener itself. Yes, it's a really cool idea. It's a take on Bender from Futurama, but basically it's a giant robot called the BeerBot, and it's a cartoonish picture on there, and one of his claws is actually reaching out of the shirt itself to actually open your bottle. It's really, really, really nifty. So if you are of that kind of person who would like one of these, then $20 and it's yours. I'm not sure what the washing instructions for that kind of thing would be, but hey, it's a pretty nifty nonetheless. Or may the beer be with you. Lightsaber bottle opener. It's a lightsaber with a bottle opener at the end. George Lucas loves licensing things. The man loves money. What can I say? And you know what? Hey, if people will buy it, you know, if you sell it, people will buy it. So I just thought it was kind of fun and kind of cool, so I wanted to share with the group. Coffee reviews and equipment over at the wonderful website, dailyshotofcoffee.com. They have an interesting little article about, Mike has an interesting little article about how people review coffee. It's a poll that he's running on whether or not he should be using a coffee maker or a French press to actually test, you know, different things, you know, different coffees that he gets into review. And my two cents on this has always been, I use the French press for 90% of the things that I'm going to brew, despite the fact that most people actually use a regular coffee, you know, a drip brewer, when they're actually making their coffee. I've yet to find a coffee that tastes good in a French press but tastes bad out of a drip brewer. Whatever it is about the drip brewing system, the coffee is a little bit weaker, it's not as concentrated, and it's much more filtered. So if the coffee tastes bad in a French press, I would think that it's much more closer to the true taste of the coffee. But then again, if you're actually doing tastes of coffee overall, you would probably do a cupping as opposed to, you know, a cupping of the individual coffees that you actually get into review. But I'm not sure if that's the best way to do it for, you know, a review of coffee that you would get and serve at home. So I'm not sure, but I stick with my method, which is the French press. And then if something comes pre-ground, I definitely do it with French press and with the drip brewer as well. And every once in a while, especially if I get an interesting coffee for, you know, playing around with during the summer, I will actually also do a cold brew on it, because I love drinking cold brewed coffee, and that's just one of the interesting things that I've found actually changes the flavor profile of a lot of coffees out there. And that brings us to the next little thing. I'm not sure if we talked about this before, but Mike Allen Smith from over at ineedcoffee.com has tips for quick and easy iced coffee. He uses the Toddy system for cold brewing coffee. I have the Ronco Coffee Time, which does basically the same thing. It's just mine's red and white, and this one's just white. That's the only real difference I've ever seen. It's really kind of cool, and I like this kind of system to actually brew your iced coffee, despite all the, you know, my usual hesitancy to actually recommend something that's a unitasker, much like Alton Brown. You know, you can use it to beyond making just iced coffee. You can also make iced tea. You can make a whole bunch of different beverages, anything that basically needs to be infused. I'm probably going to see if I can try it with vodka to see if it has the same kind of a filtering technique, but hey, you know what? I don't know if I can actually leave a giant bottle of vodka open in my fridge. So, you know, that would be another factor altogether. It depends on how bad the week is, whether or not the vodka would survive, but still. So you can head on over to ineedcoffee.com and actually check out the wonderful little article on the Toddy Brewing System. So it's really cool. And then the next little thing we have from over at muddydogcoffee.wordpress.com, how to make an authentic French café au lait. Well, there's two reasons I'm talking about this. One, because I actually do love café au laits. If you're going to make a café au lait like they serve in New Orleans, however, like specifically in the Café du Monde or anything like that, most of those coffees are actually mixed equal parts strong coffee and hickory, roasted hickory. Chicory. Come on. Yeah, just add a C on the front. Makes a whole big difference. I mean, one's a wood, one's an herb there. All right, so it's roasted chicory that changes the flavor of the coffee. It's actually, if you look at it, it's an imperfect coffee when you have it that way, but it's a perfect something else. So it really has an interesting flavor all of its own. So it's coffee with chicory in it. It's not a standard additive you see on most of the coffees outside of New Orleans. I haven't even been to New Orleans. My parents went and brought it back, and I fell in love with it there, and I've had it a couple times since. But the authentic French café au lait is actually incredibly strong coffee mixed with scalded milk in equal parts. Now, the other reason I'm bringing this up is I've recently found out that apparently my body has decided to full-time reject lactose in various strong forms. So ice cream's a no-go, coffee with milk is a no-go, so cappuccinos and all the other things like that are pretty much out unless I feel like popping pills along with my beverages, and that's just not my style on most points. The one thing that I'm kind of holding out for is I love pizza, so I'm more than willing to medicate myself for pizza, but it's really kind of irritating that it came out of the blue for this. But you know, I think I might have talked about it before. For about 2 months I was violently lactose intolerant after a dose of a really strong antibiotic, and I found out that, you know, this can actually happen to some people. And then everything went away. I was able to drink milk, no problem, and all that. And about, you know, 2 weeks ago it started happening again. And I haven't had any kind of medication for who knows how long. Maybe that's not a good thing, but still, you know, hey, yeah, all right, focus on the task at hand. This is how to make authentic French café au lait. All right, it's a great little website if you head on over to muddydogcoffee.wordpress.com and see this and so many other articles out there. And then last but most certainly not least, there's a wonderful little gentleman by the name of Paul Robert John Muller, and that would be me. And I finally put together the coffee steak video, and it's called Caffeination Cooks Steak. So this is two and a half recipes rolled into one. This is how I make corn on the cob on the grill, which is basically just throwing the whole husks on the grill. It steams the corn. It is a wonderful experience. If you've never done it, you should ought to do it. And the other thing is how to make sweet and spicy steak and my version of coffee steak. So I love both of those recipes, and I can get my wife to eat sweet and spicy steak till the cows come home, literally, because they will be slaughtered and we will make more steaks out of them. But still, both are wonderful recipes. I'm not entirely sure of the quality of the video, but the only thing if I've learned one thing from doing an audio podcast for almost 5 years now, it is that you have to just keep putting content out there, and you will slowly get better over time. You're not going to all of a sudden, you know, turn out, you know, the next blockbuster movie or fantastic Food Network presentation. And you have to really kind of tone back your perfectionist streak sometimes. And those people have camera crews. I, on the other hand, have a handheld camera and my own self. So that being said, I really do hope you enjoy the video. It's called Caffeination Cooks Steak, and it's available over at caffeination.com. And that is about all I got today. So many thanks for listening. This is been the 444th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. If you would like there to be a 445th and beyond, I love feedback. I love information, even if it's negative, even if you don't like hearing about X, Y, or Z. I mean, I might ignore you completely, but I might ignore your advice completely, but I always listen to you, and I 90% of the time respond to everybody, depending on what's going on in the world around me. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to reach out to different people and actually make a connection, and that's one of the really cool parts about doing the podcast. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.